Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. Would you ever think this was possible a couple years ago? Well, it's been prophetically said by Chuck Pierce and others that this would be taking place. You've been seeing it on VFN TV, but here it is. A presidential candidate by the name of Donald Trump is reportedly saying riots aren't that bad. If there's a contested convention, I guess that would be the Republican National Convention, then we would see riots? Is that what they're saying? Let's take a look.
All right, the word riots, he said it twice. That's pretty serious. A lot of us remember what happened in 1968 at the Democratic Convention in Chicago.
Wolf, I'm very proud. My grandfather was one of the organizers of the 1968 Democratic Convention. And one of those folks, and I guarantee right now if he was still alive, I think he'd be very proud of my involvement with Mr. Trump. But this, you have to understand the motivation of the riot here. It's not because people aren't getting their voices heard. It's because the people's voice would be ignored in this case. The majority, the plurality, the people, the majority of the population have voted for Mr. And the obvious moves that will be made by the establishment Republican Party to keep him from this nomination, that right there would cause anger. And that would be an obvious backhand to all of the people who have been paying attention and who have been engaged in this political process. So, you know, riots aren't necessarily a bad thing if it means it's because it's sitting there and fighting the fact that our establishment Republican Party has gone corrupt and decided to ignore the voice of the people and ignore the process.
Scotty, you really don't want riots to emerge at the Republican convention in Chicago where people could be injured, people could be hurt, they could be maimed. You don't want riots.
It's not riot as in a negative thing, what we've seen in the past. It's the fact is you have a large amount of people that will be very unhappy. I don't think they would sit there and resort. In fact, I know they would not resort to violence. I know they would not do it. However, they would make sure their voices are heard, that they can't be ignored. And when we sit here and talk about it, you have to understand there's a process of these delegates being elected. And that's why I am very skeptical of this idea that we will not have Mr. Trump as our nominee as he continues to grow in strength. The majority of the delegates going to this convention have pledged their allegiance or have sat there and said that they are a supporter of Mr. Trump. They will be the majority. So if something happens to ignore their voice as they are representative of the people, then I think right now there will need to be some way of getting the establishment's attention. I, however, don't think that will happen. I don't consider riots to be a violent thing unless they turn into. I consider it to be something where you'll have the majority of the people will be engaged and will be paying attention to what is going on, and it will be an obvious kidnapping of the voice of the people and ignoring of what the people want over what the minority of the establishment wishes.
Is this not something? I don't think riots are that bad. Look at the Time magazine you're looking at right here, where they have 2015 marked over 1968. That's exactly what's been prophesied about. We're going to be talking about this today and asking the question or answering the question, why is this all happening? Do you remember when President Barack Obama stood up and he said in May, remember this date, May 2011, he stood up and he said that Israel, in a paraphrase way, and we'll have the exact quote, we'll have him saying it, needs to go back to the 1967 borders. He calls them the preferred borders for Israel. Let's look at the president making that speech, talking about Israel. You need to cut back your size, basically, and go back to the 1967 borders. Take a look.
We believe the borders of Israel and Palestine should be based on the 1967 lines with mutually agreed swaps so that secure and recognized borders are established for both states.
That was, I mean, I don't think there's anybody I've seen more articulate, being able to articulate well like our president. He's a very good speaker. But the words that he said was, Israel needs to go back to the 1967 borders. We're going to have a prophet on today, Chuck Pierce, talking about how he prophesied before 2011 that this would happen. And because he said that, America would go back to 1960s. As a matter of fact, go back to Time Image, Time Magazine again. You're looking at a comparison of 2015, 2016, looking like 1968. And they're talking about riots again. These borders, these 1967 borders that the president is saying that they needed to go back to on May 2011 when he said that, these are undefensible borders. This is the government of Israel showing us very specifically these 1967 borders and how they're indefensible. They cannot defend themselves if we do go back to the 1967 borders. Let's take a look.
Every state has the right of self-defense and to secure borders to protect itself from hostile invasions and terror. Israel is a small state surrounded by Arab countries 650 times its size, some of which are large bases of global terror. Only 44 miles separate between the Jordan Valley and the Mediterranean Sea. After the Six-Day War in 1967, when Israel was attacked by four armies on three fronts, United Nations Security Council Resolution 242 stated that Israel was entitled to new defensible borders to replace the previous fragile lines from which it was attacked. What are Israel's defensible borders? What are its essential security needs? The Jordan Rift Valley, Israel's eastern frontier, forms a natural barrier between Israel and the countries of Jordan, Iraq, and Iran. The Jordan Valley rises from an area that is 1,200 feet below sea level to a hilly ridge of up to 3,000 feet, creating a steep 4,200-foot virtual wall opposite any force attacking from the east. The growing threat of global jihad activity near Israel's borders requires it to prevent infiltrations of terrorists and weapons. When Israel left the Philadelphia corridor in Gaza, it became a highway for the infiltration of terrorists and the flow of hundreds of tons of ammunition and weaponry from all over the Arab world, aimed at Israeli civilians. The Jordan Valley is the equivalent of Gaza's Philadelphia corridor in the West Bank. To defend itself, Israel must retain control over the Jordan Valley. This is Israel's mountain ridge, rising up to 3,000 feet. It dominates Israel's major coastal cities, where more than 70% of its population, 80% of its industry, and all of its airfields and seaports are located. Missiles launched from the Judean hills pose an immediate threat to Jerusalem, Israel's capital. Israel's only international airport, Ben Gurion, would be in the range of even primitive rockets, while all planes taking off and landing would be threatened by shoulder-launched anti-aircraft missiles. More advanced weaponry would be able to hit virtually any point in Israel. If Israel were forced back to the 1949 armistice lines, the Green Line, the country's width would be reduced to a narrow 9-mile waistline that would be impossible to defend. That's why any future arrangement must include Israeli control over key areas of the mountain ridge and a demilitarized Palestinian state. Israel's narrow borders means a combat aircraft can cross the entire country in under 4 minutes. In less than 2 minutes, an enemy plane could penetrate the country's airspace via the Jordan Valley and reach Jerusalem. In order to thwart an aerial attack on Jerusalem, a hostile plane must be shot down at least 10 miles east of the capital to prevent it from crashing into major population centers. Therefore, Israel must be able to identify hostile planes before they cross the Jordan River line and intercept them shortly after. To defend itself, Israel must control the airspace over the West Bank. Israel's transportation arteries, and in particular the Trans-Israel Highway, enable travel and connection between Israel's regions. They also assure the mobility of the Israel Defense Forces in case of attack. Protection of these vital arteries is essential in order to ensure that 1. Civilians aren't victims of terrorist gunfire. 2. Regions of the country cannot easily be cut off. 3. The mobility of Israel's defense forces is not hindered in the case of invasion. To defend itself, Israel must control its main arteries of transportation. There is enormous uncertainty about future trends in the Middle East. Iran is determined to become the supreme power as the U.S. withdraws from Iraq. No one can guarantee the future of many of the current regimes in the region. Today, more than ever, it is crucial to ensure defensible borders for Israel.
So you're looking at, think about this. Why? What would Israel, 1967 borders, the defense of Israel, and riots in this year's Republican or Democratic convention? Well, whatever happened in the 60s is going to happen here because of what took place with the president in May of 2011. That's right. We're going to have Chuck Pierce on speaking specifically about a prophecy. He prophesied that this president would be the president before anybody knew about it, but also what would happen in May of 2011 and how it's going to be really rough before it gets better, but it's going to get better, but it'll be rough before it gets better. Plus, we're going to talk to you about, she's saying that riots aren't that bad. It's not, riots are not really violent. When we get back from the break, we'll also look at the definition of a riot so we understand it is bad. Make sure you join us after the break. Welcome back. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. This is pretty wild what's taking place.
Here we
are. Riots aren't that bad. You know, that's what she's saying.
Crazy.
This is the spokesperson on behalf of the Trump campaign. And I believe I have even just wanted to make sure because, like, did I have not, you know, 10 years in law enforcement, did I mess up with what's the definition of a riot? You know, and a riot is defined as a concert action made in furtherance of an expressed common purpose, which she's saying the government's, Washington, D.C. is messed up. The political parties are messed up.
So a concerted action.
Yeah, concerted action through the use of threat of violence. I think we've seen a few of those little threats of violence, didn't we, right?
Just a couple.
Somebody saying we'll cover your legal costs or something like that. Resulting in a disturbance of the peace, which is actually illegal in most states.
Can you be arrested for that?
You can be arrested for disturbing the peace. Resulting in a disturbance of peace under common law, the crime of a riot requires an assembly of at least three or four folks.
Mm.
So it sounds like it's not good.
No.
A riot's not good.
No.
And you think about it, this is what was prophesied by Chuck Pierce, and we've been talking about it. Now you're seeing the fulfillment of these different things.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to hear Chuck Pierce. This is Chuck Pierce speaking to Sid Roth, talking specifically what would happen in May of 2011. He prophesied, including that it would be the first African-American president before it happened. You know, and John, God showed you before it happened.
And I knew that as well, right?
And he showed him Time magazine cover stamps that would happen and some other things as well. But with this, I want you to hear this because the president said, and you heard the president, let's hear the president one more time saying what he said about it needs to go back to the 67 lines Israel does. Listen to the president.
We believe the borders of Israel and Palestine should be based on the 1967 lines with mutually agreed swaps so that secure and recognized borders are established for both states.
Now, let's hear from the prophet, Chuck Pierce, talking specifically what that means. And it'll make sense to you why now they're talking about we're gonna have riots if we don't get our way.
Mm-hmm.
Listen up.
Now, in 2005, God told you something that you had a lot of chutzpah to say, that there would be an African-American president. In 2008, you received a word of what this this president that will be in office, obviously it's Barack Obama, would do that would dramatically affect our nation 3 years later in May of 2011. Tell me about
that. Well, see, Sid, what was happening was when he had yet even been nominated, and yet I knew because of what God had said who was going to be nominated. But that wasn't the issue, because remember, God was going to heal this issue that of the division from racism in our nation. But it was going to actually get a little worse for us, because we were going to have to go deeper and deal with anti-Semitism. And what God showed me, he caught me up. He gave me an incredible vision. We were at the Liberty Park. I was doing a big meeting there. I was the guest speaker. It was a meeting of 1,500 people. And the Lord caught me up and began to show me 3 years in advance what would happen and how he would start looking at America based upon how America would align with Israel. And that this president would then come back and start pulling Israel and be a tremendous advocate to pull Israel out of its current progression in restoration back to the state of where it was before it actually began its new boundaries and new progress.
So, in effect, when President Barack Obama made the proclamation
in May,
which you knew 3 years from
May. It was very specific. It would be May 2011.
Whoa. And the proclamation was Israel should go back to its pre-67 borders. When President Barack Obama made that proclamation, what happened in the invisible world to America?
It pulled us back into the progress we had made spiritually. See, when you make a declaration like that...
So did it affect racism even?
It will cause racism to rise up back to 1967.
Whoa.
See, it's going to cause things, but see, God's not in time, so it will be in this age. It won't look like it was pre-1967. It will cause our nation to begin to have to process this age with that demonic structure that we've already warred through in measure. See, covenant, all nations reconcile around Israel. So if you're attempting to bring and being the proponent or voice to bring Israel back into a place where it is not progressing, but back where it loses a lot of what it's already warred for, you're going to do the same thing in your own freedom.
Do you see a correlation of the following events? Right after President Barack Obama made that statement in Joplin, Missouri, we were hit with the deadliest tornado, the deadliest in 70 years. Do you see a correlation?
Well, see, actually, you had Alabama. Again, we're back to Alabama. And then you had Missouri. Both had deadly, deadly tornadoes. Alabama, I just came from there last weekend here. Alabama went into, lost almost 400 people, and then Joplin lost a whole city. I mean, almost a whole city wiped aside. Do I see a correlation? Yes, I see it releases a spiritual force that brings God, because I believe God controls the wind.
So you're seeing right now a xenophobia, which is, you know, scared of other races, and it being used as a political narrative in America right now. And you're watching people who have no problem putting somebody down based on their ethnicity gather up and coagulate, you know, and you're just seeing the surfacing of racism in the nation. Well, that's what the 60s were like. The 60s were the Black Panthers, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who was assassinated. You had Robert Kennedy was assassinated. You had
President John F. Kennedy.
Malcolm X was assassinated during that time. It was a real. And the tensions were because America had yet to deal with racism.
Mm-hmm.
And it never, you know, killing Dr. Martin Luther King did not end racism.
Yeah.
It ended an awesome man's life, who I believe was an apostle, bringing a country into a place. He had a call in his life, like his daughter said. Maybe we can hear that, what she said, that she had a spirit. He had a spiritual call in his life, and his assignment was to civil rights.
Dr. Bernice King.
Dr. Bernice King over the King Center. And that's the 60s were turbulent. But because he said that, we're going to go back to the 60s, go through all those experiences, but with today's knowledge.
Well, look what's happened to Ferguson. Look what happened in Maryland. Look what happened in New York City.
But now we have a candidate. But anybody that's joining, that whole spirit is just arising. And he said that spirit will be drawn back into that spirit, is what he prophesied. So we're seeing it take place. And there's nothing more evil than, you know, prideful racism, arrogance, and that type of thing that goes on when somebody thinks that they're better than somebody based on their skin color. It is amazing. Anyway, we come back from the break. We're going to hear how judgments coincide with ever how we treat Israel. That judgments coincide with exactly how we're treating Israel. You're going to be so surprised how things that happened to America happen right after we did what we did to Israel. And now that's why you're seeing what's happening in 1968 is arising here in 2016. So, you know, if you look back to the 60s and see what took place in the 60s, this is when, you know, Bill Clinton at that time and Hillary Clinton was, you know, on the streets involved in Saul Alinsky Rules for Radicals,
writing
the paper.
Corresponding.
I've read her term paper, and she was an admirer of Saul Alinsky, which, by the way, Do we have Dr. Ben Carson talking about Saul Alinsky? Let's see that now.
And, you know, just brings me to the whole topic of our faith as a nation. You know, we're in the process of allowing the secular progressives to drive faith out of our country. And you look at, you know, one of their heroes, Saul Alinsky, who was also a hero of Hillary Clinton. And he was a community organizer like Barack Obama. And he wrote a famous book, as you know, called Rules for Radicals. Now, to just give you some idea of who these people are, on the dedication page, it says this book is dedicated to Lucifer, the original radical who gained his own kingdom. So when we're talking about throwing God out and then substituting something that is radically different, you can imagine what the effects of that are going to be on our nation. We're the only ones who can change that. And I know that President Obama said we're not a Judeo-Christian nation, but he doesn't get to decide, we get to decide what kind of nation we are.
So you're looking at, that's what's happening, what's happened in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And it's like everything has been orchestrated and polarized. You have to polarize before you organize. As a matter of fact, listen to Marshall Gantz now talking about that. This is the one who was involved in President Obama's campaign, mm-hmm. but also he's the one that teaches organizing in that methodology. His name is Marshall Gantz. Listen to him now on Bill Moyer's show.
But, you know, it's like Saul Alinsky said, organizers have to be well-integrated schizoids because you have to polarize to mobilize and depolarize to settle. But without polarizing, you're never going to mobilize anything. And yeah, then there's a time to negotiate. And I think we're really screwed up on that.
I want you to hear that one more time. This is what's been happening to the world. We talked about it in Organizers of the Light versus Organizers of the Dark and Children of the Light. I mean, you got to hear the whole series because it's Rules for Radicals. This is what Ben Carson, and he made that statement after he said he's not going to be running for president. He said, this is what I'm going to focus on. Listen one more time. He says, you have to actually be schizoid. It doesn't matter. That's why nothing makes sense. You're just trying to get everybody divided up. Polarization means you divide everything. And everything that can be divided has been divided.
Yeah.
So it's right for what he's talking about. Listen to Marshall Gantz one more time.
But, you know, it's like Saul Alinsky said, organizers have to be well-integrated schizoids because you have to polarize to mobilize and depolarize to settle. But without polarizing, you're never going to mobilize anything. And yeah, then there's a time to negotiate. And I think we're really screwed up.
So you're looking at a push. You're about to see an entire nation just get shoved in 2016 into a place that they want nudged, I guess.
Well, yeah,
you would
but Kennedy's say. Doing that now. Massive polarization now to mobilize a massive movement. And then
we had a president that's been doing it for 7 years. I mean, it's been a whole spirit.
Same playbook.
Well, yes, it is. You're looking at Alinsky rules being used on several people that are running for office. But take a look at this. So now, what's going to happen? Why is this happening? Well, notice this. Ever how we treated Israel, every time we do something to Israel, and believe me, this administration has been hurting Israel continually. There's probably never been a more hostile leadership than the present leadership towards Israel. We even armed their enemies with potential nuclear weapons, Iran, who's saying that they want to destroy Israel. Well, just take a look. Let's look at it as he talks about specifically how judgment coincides every single time in history. So we've got something coming, I believe, right now soon because of that. And like Chuck Pierce said, but when we get it right with Israel and get it right with God, then we're going to have peace again and we're going to deal with these issues in
our
land. It's going to be rough before it gets better, but we've got to go through the roughness. Take a look.
Sid Roth here. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. My guest, John McTernan, has found the most amazing statistics. Since 1991, how many times have you seen that when the United States goes against Israel, there have been what the world calls natural catastrophes?
Sid, at a minimum 50, but probably closer to 70.
Now, many people feel that when there are things like earthquakes and hurricanes and the stock market goes down, and that's the type of things we're talking about, many people think, John, that this is just the natural decay of planet Earth in every arena. How would you respond to that?
Well, Sid, obviously there is truth to that,
sure,
the natural decay, but it's the timing of it, Sid, and the magnitude of the hurricanes, for example, like Hurricane Andrew, Hurricane Katrina, and other hurricanes falling precisely on these events. Precisely, Sid.
Why is it, though? What I'm pondering and what I'd like John to explain is, why is it that there are these warning judgments from God within 24 hours of the event when the United States tries to divide up the land of Israel? Why is that, John?
Well, Sid, in the Bible, God has made promises from starting with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their descendants, which would be the Jewish people today, about the land. And there are blessings and cursings of how people react to the Jewish people on the land. So part of the cursing is if you try and divide the land, which unfortunately the United States is really the leading nation in the world pressuring Israel to do this since 1991.
Give me some examples of what the United States did and what happened. Just a couple.
Well, Sid, we'll start at the very beginning at the Madrid peace process, which is really a code word for the dividing of Israel. That the date was October 30th, 1991. We'll say President Bush Sr., and not the current president, but president, his father, President Bush Sr. He initiated this after the Gulf War, thinking that he, with the power of the United States, you could have this comprehensive peace in the Middle East, and part of it would be dividing the land, including Jerusalem. And when the president was delivering this speech in Madrid, Spain, initiating the Madrid peace process, on that very day, Sid, in fact, I'll almost go as far as to say the hour, the perfect storm, and if you can think back to 1991,
There was a movie on it.
Movie, there was a best-selling book. The perfect storm had generated, was the most powerful storm ever recorded in history in the North Atlantic. It generated 30-foot waves that came against the president's home in Kennebunkport, Maine. He has a home on the coast.
It really caused destruction in
his
home?
30-foot waves. Eyewitnesses said that the waves just engulfed the home. They came over it. So as the president of the United States was in this process of touching the land of Israel, his own home was being devastated. So.
Give me another example.
Well, in the next year, the Madrid peace process was transferred from Madrid, Spain, to Washington, D.C. The very first day that they met was August 23rd, Sid, 1992, on American soil. Previously, they had been in Madrid.
Right.
And you can see the headlines in the newspapers. I have all the headlines. Where Hurricane Andrew, at that time, it was the greatest natural disaster ever hit the United States. Since then, Hurricane Katrina has surpassed it. But Hurricane Andrew hit 4 hours before they met on American soil. So you'll see the newspapers with the headline, Hurricane Andrew and all the damage, and right there with it is the Madrid peace process. So you can't miss it, Sid.
Which is, the Madrid peace process is land for peace, but you mentioned Hurricane Katrina.
Yes.
Is there any correlation with that?
I'm going to stretch your mind a little, but to go back to Hurricane Katrina and the Jewish people being evacuated from Gaza.
The settlements.
It's called Gush Katif. And, of course, Gaza is part of the covenant land. It's that land that was given to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their descendants. In fact, Sid, the prophet Obadiah,
yes,
which your viewers may have a hard time finding because it's the smallest
I know.
when I preach on Obadiah, I give people extra time to find it. But right there in Obadiah, it talks about the day of the Lord, which, of course, is the second coming of the Lord Jesus.
Which we're obviously approaching.
Yeah, without a doubt. And it says specifically that the plain of the Philistines are going to belong to the Jewish people are going to be in control of the plain of the Philistines, which in modern terminology is Gaza. So the prophetic word says that this land is going to be inhabited, controlled by the Jewish people, yet through pressure of the United States with George Bush Jr. and with Condoleezza Rice, the Secretary of State, we've pressured the Jewish government, the Israeli government, to unilaterally abandon the land, and plus the president also promised American money to help with the resettlement of the Jewish people that are being taken off the land. So that was taking place exactly at the time that Hurricane Katrina hits the United States. So we're forcing Jewish people off the land in Israel, and Americans are being forced off the land in the United States.
Now listen, I would not call this a warning judgment. I would call this a judgment.
Yes, sir. Yes. In my book, when I first started in the mid-1990s, I called it warning judgments or judgments unto repentance.
So those things were nothing compared to what's happening in the last 7 years.
Yeah.
What American administration, the president and his executive branch, mm-hmm. has done to Israel. We can only imagine the ramifications. It's almost like a slingshot that got pulled so far back.
And yeah.
There's going to be a release because Gaza now was the one that was firing the missiles. And it's amazing.
Over 10,000 rockets since that time of 2005.
Yes. And so that has yet to be reckoned. And I think that reckoning is coming. That's what we're going to be seeing. And
dear God, have
but
mercy.
In it, you know, we're going to get back in right relationship with Israel, mm-hmm. you know, I believe. But when we get back from this break, we want to be able to nail this down and explain it in detail, understanding that we have to prepare ourselves. You know, a prudent man sees danger and prepares for it. A fool keeps going and suffers for it. You can go sign up for the Torch newsletter. It's a newsletter that comes every single week to keep you informed. You go to VFNTV.com, sign up for it. We have a free gift for you that comes in the email. It's called Prudent Preparation. It gets you to think outside the box. It's easy now, but the second something hits, it's not easy. There's nothing there at that point to be able to prepare. You wish you would have. But on a lighter note right now, listen, if you have not seen Miracles from Heaven, it's a movie that was been produced, I believe, by T.D. Jakes. Mm-hmm. And it was a powerful movie. It had several people that you would recognize in there. I can't tell you any details about it, but I just leaked. By the way, something happened right there. I don't know what it was, but it was just from the beginning to the end. It was just so powerful. And it's a true story of the miracle of God and what he does and how it just turned so many folks, including, I believe, a New York Times reporter got saved. So this is huge. So make sure you go. As a matter of fact, take a look at it now.
Let's do Benjamin Franklin. An investment in knowledge pays the best interest. Okay, listen to your teachers.
Love you.
Love you.
It's a good life.
It's a good life.
Mommy. 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 I'm coming. Mommy.
Oh, no.
When Anna got sick, I just couldn't understand it. Why was this loving little girl going through this?
I think your daughter is lactose intolerant, acid reflux. Everything looks okay. Everything's fine.
Everything is not fine. There's something wrong with our little girl.
Mrs. B, you need to calm down.
I'm not leaving this hospital until I know what's wrong with my daughter.
Unfortunately, the tests confirm that she's very ill. There's currently no cure for Anna's condition.
Doctor, please, this is our little girl. I'm scared.
Me too.
We're not giving up. We need a solution. We need it now.
I'm gonna get it.
How?
I'm not losing my faith.
How long have you been married? 14 years. Rehearsing this. Can you even hear me?
Telling me that when this baby girl fell 30 feet, she hit her head just right, and it didn't kill her, and it didn't paralyze her. It healed her.
Yes.
Well, that's impossible.
This is a little hard to believe.
There's a lot of people out there that are just looking for publicity.
A lot of people think we're crazy.
You either roll with it or you get rolled on.
Who told you you'd be fine?
So we wanted to prepare you and to be able to be prepared for this moment. We're hearing very specifically that's today they're making those things statements saying riots aren't that bad. Riots are bad. They're very bad at any time. The definition of a riot's bad. It's actually illegal to have a riot.
Right.
And you see this rise of racism, just like was prophesied that's taking place. Listen, as the church, as Christians, you know, we're called to be able to follow the Lord, not conform to the patterns and the culture of this world. We're supposed to be different than what the world is doing. We're supposed to be light in the midst of darkness. We're supposed to be known by the love we have for each other. So whatever the world does, we need to be able to follow Christ. We want to pray for you right now and just ask God to be able to give us wisdom and to save our nation and to turn things around. Father God, we just come to you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. We say, Lord, forgive us for what America has done to Israel during the last 7 years, God. I pray that you would turn this around, Father God. We pray, Lord God, that you would spare America, Father God, that you would prevent these riots, Lord God, that you would have mercy on this country, Father God, that you would turn this nation back around to you, God, that truly people would really know that all of our rights do come from you and government's meant there to be able to defend the rights that you give us, Father God. We pray, Father God, that you would protect Israel. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Lord, we ask you, Lord, that you would end abortion, that you would end racism in this nation, that you would send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.